So that's his main concern. I want you to know that he's here to meet that thing. There's nothing trivial to him. As long as it touches you, it touches him. So while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. He says that I am so committed to man, I want to meet every need of man. The first thing he told Adam was, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. Meaning that the way you are going to accomplish true dominion is by the seed principle. Because the seed principle is what causes fruit to come out of anything. So he's saying the way you're going to establish dominion on the earth is through the seed principle. So he says, while the earth remaineth, when Noah came out of the ark, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And he told Noah the same thing in 9. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue. He said, this is my order. This is how you come into a relationship with me on the earth. This is how you multiply on the earth. You see, man is a spirit, as we said. He has a soul and he lives in a body. So God is concerned not just with the spirit aspect. He's concerned with the soulish aspect and with the body of man. He's concerned with everything regarding man on the earth. Because the Bible says you are bought with a price. That's the precious blood of Jesus. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit which belong to God. That's what he says. So God is concerned with everything that concerns you on the earth as a person. That emotional thing, his concern. That financial need, his concern. That thing that you are reaching out for, that job, he is concerned. Don't let the enemy trick you. Believing that God is not involved with these little things. That thing you are talking about, that thing that is troubling you about in your office, he is concerned. He's right there. And that's where he's going to start from with you. He wants you to involve him in the even the things that look so petty that you think that God is not concerned. God is concerned. The Bible says, in Christ Jesus has all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge dwell. So Christ has the answer to everything. But the thing is that we're not involving him enough in the affairs of our lives. The thing is just praying one high thing for one mighty crusade or praying some high thing for other things that we seem are bigger than. No, God is involved in the nitty gritty of it. Even look at the marriage of Cana. Wine, I mean, turning water into wine. I mean, look at what he was involved in. Little things that we think are insignificant. So he's involved in those things. So let's understand. Let's begin to bring God into our personal space and our personal affairs, because that's where he wants to start with us from. Let's begin to bring him into our personal affairs. So we know now it is the seed experience. Into our seed, get personal with God. Those things you think that are mundane, something happens here, or even if it's something that someone upsets you, bring him into that space. He wants to be involved in everything concerning you. Even if someone is talking to you in a bad way and you feel bad about it, bring him into that space. That's what God is about. It's not a God somewhere that is disconnected from our personal and daily life. It's not. It's not a God that is disconnected from our day-to-day affairs. It's not. And regarding that child that you think is going haywire, is going wayward, bring him into that space. That's why he's there. That's why he's God. He's difficult to meet every situation of yours. Regarding that habit that you struggled with, bring him into that space. That's what he wants. That's what he's there for. So he has sent forth the spirit of his son into our heart, crying, Abba Father. Say, only if these people knew how much I love them, how much I care for the very mundane things in their life, how much I'm concerned about them, they will turn their hearts to me fully and worship me. He's concerned. He's concerned when after a God that is a taskmaster, after a God that is only concerned with high things. No, he's concerned with the little things that concern us. Look at the book of James. Let's go to James. The compassion of God is far-reaching. James, chapter 2. Verse 13. That's why Jesus told the disciples, and he says, call fire from heaven. So you don't understand me. You don't understand what spirit you're made of. So let us destroy. Say, God has not come to destroy men's lives, but has come to mold it up. See, James chapter 2, verse 12. So speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the perfect law, by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. But mercy rejoices against judgment. Listen to 14. Say, what profit does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Listen to this. Say, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of a daily food, and one of you say to him, depart in peace, say, I'm praying for you, and go, be ye warmed and filled. That can be likened to a kind of prayer. So I'm praying in my closet for you. Say, notwithstanding, ye give him not those things that are needful for the body. What profit is there? If there's a God that cannot meet the financial demand on you, what profit? That's what they say. See, that cannot. No. That's what he's saying here. He's saying that, look, you're saying that you have a big God somewhere that cannot meet the immediate need, that emotional need that has been troubling you all these years, that financial situation that's in your life. What profit? And that's what he's saying. So he's saying, he's talking to them, saying that if you cannot meet the need of this man, what profit has, is it? If the man is hungry and God cannot give him bread, what profit is it? That's what God is concerned with. That's what he said here. So if God can say that, say, look, you guys, you are just wasting your time. You're just saying to pray, be warmed and filled, and you're not giving the man the things that are needful for the body. What profit? So God is saying, me, I'm saying it. So what of me? God is seeing you in that situation. What profit is it? He said, you have my life inside you, and that life cannot be translated to tangible forms that you can use on the earth. What profit is it? That's how concern it is. So there's no, that's how concern it is. Jesus Christ, he wasn't a theoretical gospel. He was going meeting practical needs of the people on the earth. He was not just supplying, he wasn't meeting the spiritual, he was meeting practical needs on the earth. That's what God was saying. So my people have spiritualized everything so much that they have forgotten that they are on the earth and their God is on the earth. So there are practical needs that God, he wants to be involved in. And he says this principle of the seed experience is what my people need to understand. That's why the enemy attacked this thing so much. He attacked it when it was brought in by a robot those days. He attacked it so much because that is how you get personal with God. Personal with God. So we're saying here now that God wants to meet every single thing. If you come with a need today, rest assured God is going to show you the way out of that thing today in this place.
Amen.
With the seed experience. That's what he's concerned with. That's what he came to do. He came to do. He said, I have come that they might have. Remove the other part. Say, I have come that they might have. That they might have. That you might have whatever that have is to you as a person. I have come that they might have. It's the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you might have health, that you might have whatever it is in the context of your own personal life. That's why he has come. Jesus Christ has come that you might have health, peace, life, everything. And not just that, to the full, until it overflows. Until it overflows. So the people of God have to be reassured that they have a loving Father who is concerned about them. So that's what it's about. Now we're going to do the seed experience. You follow me, I'm going to take it really slowly, and I pray that you will be able to see it and apply it, because it's exact. God was saying that, look, if I'm a God that is not exact, then what is the basis of your faith? If it is based on the fact that he might do it or he might not do it, what is the basis of your faith? Until now, God is exact, God's principles are accurate, and God's principles are no respecter of any person. Anybody that works it, irrespective of if you practice it in the past and it failed, does not tamper with the authenticity of God as a person. Don't use your own past experience. Don't use the experience of the people that you think are like role models. Don't. Go back to the Word of God, the very source of it all. He never, ever fails. Never. Never. Never fails. Because it's the source of all things. So we're going to go to the street experience now. And I want you to follow it. I'm going to take it really slowly, because I believe strongly that this is where the body of Christ needs to launch deep. People have been confessing God's word. People have been praying. But you know, if you have 100 times 0 is 0. 100 times 2 is 200. So what we want to do is to show you what that zero is, so that you can be able to multiply the effect. Because God's will is abundant. See, God's will is abundant. So if it is not manifesting, we will go back to the drawing board. God is constant. We are the ones that need to make adjustments to tune ourselves to the frequency of God our Father. People have gone through things in their lives that has made their hearts heavy. They tried and they failed. They tried and that's created like an image of God inside them. Even if it's subconscious, they might not even know it. They are carrying an image of God that, this prayer, I'm not sure it even works actually. You are praying without expecting any answers to prayers. It's true. And they're carrying it subconsciously. They are going through the forms, but the heart has departed from the thing. I've come to announce to you that God himself is steady, is constant, and is ready to give you a fresh start in his things concerning him. He wants to come personal. See, he wants to come personal into your own space. So whatever it is, even if it's something that you are ashamed to tell men of, bring God into the center of it. And what God wants you to take from that place into somewhere else that you didn't imagine. Your inheritance is intact. Your inheritance is nothing. Nothing you have done can affect it. Don't let the enemy deceive you. I believe there's someone here that, there's a burden. You think that what you have done in the past is going to affect the inheritance that God has given to you. No. He says it's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It does not fade away. So, and some people will think that, I've wasted years. I'm now 40-something. I'm now 50-something. No. Caleb was 80 years old. He said, give me the mountain. It doesn't matter. Everything can be restored as long as you have breath. Everything can be restored. There's no time wasted. He will compress 50 years of your life and in one day. See, he will compress. He says a man child can be born in one day. Look at. He can be born in one day. It's possible. So don't let the enemy put you in corner. He say, I've wasted time in my past. I should have started earlier. People are, no. In one day, he can be born. Look at natural men. When did McDonald's start? When did they start? In one day, you can compress it. So, don't let the enemy put those limitations in your mind. Stand free. It's a thing of numbers. It's numbers now. They are calculating numbers. But God can restore everything in one, in the sweep, in the twinkling of an eye. Everything can change. So, understand that. Understand that you are free. You are in a clean slate. You can achieve anything you desire to achieve. You can achieve anything God has placed in your heart. Don't forget the mistakes of the past. Forget all the things, the delays you feel you have delayed and all that. He will still get you to that promised land he designed for you before the foundation of the earth. The inheritance is incorruptible. It's undefiled. That fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. Go back and reawaken those things. Go back. They are intact. It's incorruptible. See, your mistakes cannot touch it. People say you did that. No, you cannot touch it. It is incorruptible. That's the good news of the gospel. They came to the Jesus and said, we started this thing before them. He hired some people in that parable. They started working, and some people came later, and he paid them the same wages. He said, that's not fair. No, he said, no. See, me, I'll decide what I'll do. That's how it is. So don't let anything distract you. God is for you. God is with you. God is in you right now, no matter where you are. That's what I'm doing. There is hope for you. See, God is for you, God is with you, and God is for you today, from where you are today. Amen. That's what grace is about. That's what grace is about. Now let's go to this thing. We'll start from the book of Luke chapter 16. It's a seeds principle. He says, it's by this principle I brought salvation to the world, and by this principle I would cause multiplication in the lives of my people. It's by this principle. But in the seed principle, you have to understand that you have to have a goal. For example, if you want an orange tree, she needs to plant orange seeds. If you want to eat apples, you need to plant apple seeds. So there's no point. You have to have a goal. Or let me tell you something, there has to be a need. That's what I said last week. Needs are there to be met. So the fact that you have a need is good. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that you will experience God. So what God is going to show you the need being met is a function of the seed you plant to get that need met. The need is like an orange fruit. You want to eat an orange fruit. All God's going to say is, I am going to show you the seed to plant to eat oranges. It's as simple as that. Because God's going to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So he says, my son, in this situation, wherever you are today in this place, there is it's a need. For example, the need, or maybe you don't have a need, or you just have a goal you are reaching out for. He said there is, that is, you can liken it to an apple. Think about it, you can liken it to an apple fruit that you want. Let's say that need you have is a fruit. Look at it like a fruit. All God is saying is that to get that fruit, I need to show you what to do to get to that point. That's what he's saying. So I will give you a seed. I will show you the seed to plant to meet that need or to get that desire met. That's what he's saying. That's what the seed experience is about. So every need, everything you are going through has a solution in God. Meaning that all he needs to show you is to show you the seed to sow that will multiply and meet that need. But the beauty about God is that once you meet that need, it doesn't stop there. There's always an overflow to meet the needs of other people. That's how God is. Don't you just meet that need? He meets the needs of other people. For example, let me show you, like Abraham. Abraham, God says, my promise to you is that I want to make you a father of many nations. But what is the seed I want you to plant? Isaac was the seed. That's how simple it is. For example, let me show you, let me give an example. There's a chap that, because I want to teach this thing, I'm not going to rush it, I'm going to take it slowly. There's a chap that had, was so wealthy, Dr. Mike Mother was talking about him. He was so wealthy, he had a son, and his son was, he was buying lots of things for his son. He bought cars, he bought things, but his son was so resentful towards him. Still, that's all those things. He came to my mother, he said, ah, but my son, what's happening? My son is still resentful. I bought him so many things. He said, are you sowing the right seeds? Go to God and ask him, what seed do I need to sow to amend this relationship between my son? God told him, spend 2 hours with him every day. In a week's time, the relationship was restored. The son was transformed and restored. So it's a function of the seed that you sow to get that need met. So any situation you're in today, ask God, say, Father, or anything you want to embark on, say, Father, what is the seed that I need to plant to meet this need? It can be a seed of time. It can be a seed of money. It can be, it's not necessarily money. It can be anything, a seed of time, a seed of just your personal presence. Let God show you. Once he shows you that seed, that's the end of it. Because once you plant the seed, and you know the process of watering the seed, and God, I said last week, gives you the seed, is a function of you to plant the seed, is your function to water the seed, is God's function to multiply the seed miraculously and cause the increase to come in your life. It's your function to put in the sickle to reap the fruit of the seed you're sown. God said, I give seed to the sower. Paul said, I planted. I'm a man. Apollos, who is a man, watered the seed, and God gave the increase. That increase is a miracle which you cannot explain. It's the way a child grows in the womb of a mother. You can't explain it. All the man did is sow the seed, and the thing begins to grow. He doesn't know how. I'm taking you to a place where the miraculous is, though, that when you turn yourself to God and miracles begin to happen in your life that you cannot explain in your own understanding how these things are happening. That's what I'm taking you to. We're taking you to that space where you begin to multiply and miracles happen in your life every day. The essence of this thing is a time will come where the reaper and the man that sows will begin to overlap themselves. That means you are practicing at a rate that in your life miracles are happening consistently because of the seed. I'll show you, it's Amos. It's Amos. That's what we're going to. So I want you to understand this, that God wants us to get to that place of experiencing miracles every day of our life, because that is what we are built for as the sons. Every day of our lives. But there's a pattern to it. Luke 16. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you or your trust the true riches? And if you have been not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? I'm trying to explain the character of the seed. We'll talk about the seed today, but the seed, there are certain elements of the seed principle: the seed, the soil, the rain, and the sunshine. Those are the elements of the seed principle. But we'll talk about the seed today, but I want you to understand that the seed is, what I'm trying to say, the seed is linked to the expectation. I want you to understand that. So you have to have an expectation as you're sitting here today. What is that pressing need you have, the most pressing need you have? Keep that thing with you. Keep it with you now. The thing that you want to get accomplished, that is number one on your agenda. Because when I'm talking of a theoretical gospel, I'm talking of a practical gospel. When, by the time you leave this place, in a space of 1 week, 2 weeks, you begin to see the tangible presence of God in your life as a person. That's what we're talking about. So keep that thing in your mind. That problem has to be solved. It's enough. It has to be solved. Like Dr. Bayo said last week, he said, the woman said, enough is enough. I think all this running around to see many things, enough is enough. This one wasn't solved today. So I will touch the hem of his garment and I'll be made whole. So enough is enough. Let us face it and solve it. So have an expectation. That's what I'm going to say. The seed is always linked to an expectation. Have an expectation. Keep it with you now as you have. Say, God, this thing is, let us solve it once and for all. Once and for all. Hold your place there. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. From verse 16. No entry. So the ground of a certain, Luke 12:16, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. So this man must have practiced something. He must have planted a seed. He must have watered the seed, and that thing must have multiplied, and it brought forth plentifully. And he also actually reaped the harvest of it, because if you go further, he said he had lots of fruit. And he thought within himself saying, God was saying that, you know, in life, and as a Christian, you have to understand the origin of thoughts. Thoughts are not necessarily originating from you, not all thoughts. There are some thoughts that are put in there by the enemy, or people's suggestions. But the only way you take those thoughts into your system is by saying them. So be careful what you say. Scrutinize the thoughts before you vocalize them as your own thoughts. Jesus says, take no thought saying. So you take a thought and embrace it by saying it. Understand that. So understand that in your life as a person. They said that, so, don't repeat it, don't take it by saying it. Only say the things that you want to take in your life. The thoughts you want to take in your life should be the thoughts of God's word. That is the only thing you should take by saying. Don't take the norm and the things around you. Say the economy is falling down and people are losing their jobs. Don't take it saying. Say your own. Say the ones that God has said in his word. Say when there's a cutting down, you will say there's a lifting up. So say only things that God's word says about you. So take only God's word as it starts in your life by saying them. That's what God was saying in this place. Say, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. So it means that he actually harvested the fruits that came out of the harvest he sowed. So he practiced the seed experience and he got results in his life. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all of my fruits and my goods. So it means he bought things from the fruits. He might have traded and bought things and had many goods. He had many possessions. He was very wealthy. He might have bought cars, might have bought things from the harvest of his fruits. So he says, let me expand myself and think only of myself and begin to sit down and eat and eat and eat. He said, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat and drink and be merry. See, the system of this world are different from the systems of God. I was talking with, this is like pension scheme. Now let's understand that we're not on different systems, like pension scheme. Let us manage ourselves till we go to be with the Lord. But that's not how God functions. Caleb at 80 says, look, I'm 80 now, and I'm as vigorous as when I was 40. Give me this mountain. So it's a continuous life until you depart. Continuous increase, productivity until you leave the body. Say, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. How is he going to be rich towards God? He said he's laying up treasures for himself. This is what, you see, if you understand this thing, this is why Jesus caused that fig tree. The fig tree was accumulating beauty and leaves for himself alone, so nobody could eat of it. He says, look, the essence of this thing is that people will eat of the fruit from your tree. You are looking well, you have blossoming, but nobody is eating fruit. I curse you. Your soul is required of you. That's what he said. That's everything. That's what Jesus was so upset with the fig tree. Look, what? You are blossoming so much and no man is eating fruit of you. You have broken the code of the ecosystem. The ecosystem is that anything that created was created for something else. That's how it works. You have broken the code of God. So he said, look, no man will eat fruit of you. The same thing he told this man, said, your soul is required of you. End of story. So the essence of life is that we bear fruit. The essence of discipline is that we multiply and meet the needs of people. That's the essence of it all. That's where it starts and that's where it ends. The essence of life is that you meet the needs of people. You were created because of the next man beside you. You have children that are attached to you. Not necessarily natural children, people that are connected to you. God will not come down from heaven again and start meeting, say, you take bread, you take fish. He will come down. You are God's vessel to use to meet those things. God will not come down and solve the economic problems again. You are God's vessel. That's what he's saying. So he said, your soul is required of you because you have not been rich towards God himself. And you know what? By the time we finish this, you will understand you understand how to walk with God. You see, this thing I'm saying here, it might look mundane, but it takes you to a deeper walk with Jesus Christ. You know Jesus Christ personally when you begin to walk this thing. You know him. You come to a personal knowledge of him, and it will free you from the systems of this world. That's why he says, look, even if the Lord gives you the bread of birth and the water of affliction, your teacher should not be removed to a corner. You know, you will now see your teachers, and you will defile the covering of silver and gold. I mean, things that held you in bondage, systems that held you in bondage will be broken over your life. People that held you in bondage will be broken over. So God is saying, I want you to come to a place where you become independent as a person in connection with me and knowing how to function on the earth. That's what I'm saying, to get your needs met. Not depend on any system. That's where we're going. Because the times are coming, we need to understand this. I'm sure that's why God is taking us through this process of the seed. We need to understand the times that are coming on the earth. We need to understand this, that Isaac sowed in the land of famine. In that same year, he received a hundredfold. In the midst of drought. That's it. That's where we're going. So the seed. So keep that expectation. I'm going to receive. Have an expectation. Even if you have been battered and bruised. Say, let me try one more time. God will strengthen you to try again. Even if you've had so many failures, just hold on. He's here to meet your need. Understand that. Let's go on in that Luke chapter 6, 12, verse 22. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That's a very, how can you say that? Take no thought for my life. What shall ye eat? What ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on. He's not saying that he's not concerned about those things. He said, but I don't want you to I want to show you the system of getting those things met. That's what he's saying. See, this thing I'm saying, this thing is so exact that, and let's go, we see. The light is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Say, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than fowls or chickens? And that scripture says, the hairs of your head are numbered. I mean, when the barber cuts one and it falls to the ground, God knows the number that fell. No, this is, I want to take us back, because I think because of repeated reaching out and we have forgotten who God really is. So God feeds them. Are you no much better than fowl? He says he opens his hands and satisfies the desire of every living, it didn't say soul, every living thing. That means the plant outside, he satisfies the desire of every living thing. Not talk of man, who is prized possession. He now went further in 25, say, and now, which of you by taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? I think we are trying to meet our needs. We are struggling to become self-made people. God is saying, no, that's not what I want. So I want to show you the system in me where you can achieve these things without trying in your own power and might. It's not by might or power. It's by the Spirit of God. 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, yet I say unto you that Solomon, who is on record the richest man that has ever lived on the earth, on record, was not arrayed like one of them. If then God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven. Like I said before, it's like buying expensive clothes for your son who you know that you will outgrow the next day. You go to the designer shop and buy to Harrods and start buying expensive clothes. They say, you're going to buy this clothes. You're wasting money now. It's good Primark. Buy cheap ones so that when it grows up, when it grows tomorrow, at least it's cheap. No, God is saying, no, that's not how I function. He says that I'll buy the most expensive one, even if I know that tomorrow he will not need it. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying. So you understand that our God is, his mentality is different though. These are man-made things that were adopted as part of us. Think about it. He said, the grass is dying tomorrow, and I'm clothing him with so much splendor. I know he's going to die tomorrow. I know he's going to outgrow it tomorrow. I know you will not need that. No, just think of the abundance, the mentality of God. Let's go back to the original single from the scriptures. We're speaking from the scriptures. It says, O ye of little faith, and seek ye not that which ye shall eat or that which ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. So the people of the world, this is what they are, this is their driving force. But it says, now I want to show you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, he said, for the Father knoweth that you have need of these things. So that's what God is saying. So I know you have need of these things, and my commitment is to meet those needs. But I want to show you this system whereby I will meet those needs. It's through my kingdom. So seek ye first. We'll see what it really means to seek that kingdom. The kingdom of God and all these things that the nations of the earth are seeking after shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. Don't be afraid. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He says, the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity or advancement of his servant. That's God. That's God. Nothing else apart from that is God. Now, we're entering into it. This is the thing. It says, sell all that you have and give alms. provide for yourselves, but which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not. Where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupted, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, when the rich young ruler, just follow me, I know, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, he said, what shall I do that might inherit eternal life? What did you say to him? So you know the commandments, love your neighbor, honor. I said, you have kept them. He says, one thing is needful, only one thing you lack. He said the same thing, he said, go and sell all that you have, provide alms, then take up your cross and follow me. That's what he told him. The same thing. That is what that man should have done that had abundance. He should have said, look, what should I do? Sell what you have, give to the poor, then you will have treasure in heaven. I will explain what that means. Let's go to that story. So when you come to a situation, like I said, ask God for the seed. Like when they were in the boat, they were trying to row, that need that you are compressed with, the first thing you start with is, Lord, what is the seed I need to plant to get the harvest of meeting this need? I'm talking about practical now. That's what you start with. Let's give it like Peter when he came to the boat. So there were people pressing on Jesus, and how it happens is that Jesus brings someone into your space that has a need for you to meet. That's how it is. That's how it works. Jesus brings someone into your space, or he ministers to you. Say, why don't you help this person in this area of life? That is the seed that you need to plant in this particular place. They were throwing and rowing. They were exhausted. They were tired. They were about to go home. But the Bible says people were pressing on Jesus to hear the word. So the man that comes to knock on your door in the midst of your own need as a person is the person God is sending to you to help. That's the seed. Here in the spirit, the man that crosses your path, or the thing that here that triggers something in you during your time of need, is the seed that you require to plant. Let's become sensitive. If the seed, if there is something that's been tugging your heart, go back and do it today. It might not be money. It might just be, maybe I should call this person once every day, once every week. And but the thing about it, you must be conscious of the fact that you are planting a seed. We're not throwing seed by the wayside. We're only conscious of the fact we are practicing an experience because we have an expectation. Is that consciousness? That's why people are not getting the harvest of the seed. They are scattering seed, but they're not conscious of the fact. And we show how to cause that rain to fall upon the seed in their lives. We show it. So you have to be conscious that, look, we are doing this thing that is motivated by love, but there has to be a harvest. If I want to go and plant and not expect a harvest, it's motivated by love, but there has to be a harvest. God loved, yes, he gave, but there must be a harvest. There must be a harvest. They're not throwing things and casting them around. No. There must be a harvest of the seed. So let's go on. Go to Isaiah. So that's the seed. I've said it. Something that triggers your heart. Something that, and the thing about it, many of us have sowed seeds. We are at the point where we have seeds in the ground. All we need to know is how to water the seed. Isaiah chapter 5. That's the seed. A lady came to our robot and said, she's a student, I want to show you how this thing is. And she's so busy that she doesn't have time for anything. She's rushed off her feet. She doesn't have time for anything. The costs are so much. He told her, look, sow your time. He gave her a direct instruction, because this message is instructional. The Bible says the word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We're preaching an instructional message today. He says, give your time to someone. I think she went to a home and started giving her time to these elderly people, and she began to sing for them. The next time, see, this thing is, whatever we're talking about, you're connecting yourself with the resources of heaven. So where your treasure is, your heart is also, your heart connects to God's power. To this thing. See, this thing is serious. So she now began to do it. And in a space of 2 weeks, you saw her. She was looking so happy. So what happened? She said that, she doesn't know what happened. There's a multiplying effect of my time. I don't know how it happened. All I did was I just sowing my time into that person with that consciousness, and now I even have time to do a part-time job beside. See, the way it happens, it's a miraculous thing. That's what I'm saying. Isaiah chapter 5. You see, I will sing a song to my well-beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He said he fenced it first. That's what he did. But he's talking about the seed. He fenced it first. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. What I'm talking about is this thing we're teaching today. God is saying that if people will practice it diligently, in a space of weeks, they begin to see things change. As in definitely. It says, guard your heart with all diligence. So what is that fence? That fence is diligence. It says, guard your heart with all diligence. He fenced it with diligence. That's what happened to the sower. It said they sowed at the wayside and the fowls came and took it out of the ground. Why? There was no fence. There was no diligence. It says the man that looks into the perfect law of liberty does not diligently do it. He goes out and forgets. So that thing is a function of diligence. So guard your heart with all diligence. It means practice this thing that we're teaching today with diligence. He gathered out the stones and he planted it with choicest vines. So talk about the seed. The seed is something that touches your heart. The seed is something, but I want you to know it's a deliberate thing. God deliberately gave you. Let's become deliberate in our actions. Even in sowing, even in things you do in church, become deliberate. You're not just scattering seeds. You're not letting them, you're deliberate in your things. Be deliberate about it. It's like you come here every day, you bring instruments out, you do those things, be deliberate about it. I will show you how to be deliberate. Be deliberate. There has to be an expectation. You don't just do things. God is no debtor to any man. Be deliberate. We're talking about the seed and expectation. They are linked. He said he gathered out the stones thereof. Want to find out what the stones are in this thing? What are the stones? The Bible says that he sowed seed on stony ground, and because of that, the birds of the air, the seed sprang up immediately, and because of trials and tribulations, he became offended. So the stones are actually a form of offense in a man's heart. Means that he becomes offended, he becomes bitter about certain things. That's what the stones represent. So he take away the stones first. Like we're talking about this, we're going to the soil now. We're going to see what the characteristics of a good soil are, because I want you to enter into our, so we can practice it. The soil. So we're going to take away the stones from our lives. Go to Jeremiah. Let's see. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 3. So talk about the seed. So I'm sure people will know what they're supposed to do now regarding the seeds in certain areas. If you don't know yet, ask God to show me the seed regarding this thing I'm believing you for. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 3. So talking about the soil now. I read from another translation. Let me read from King James first. This is the teaching to go through slowly over weeks. Because once you get it, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. It says, for thus saith the Lord God to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Break up your fallow ground, means taking out the stones. I read another translation. It says, the Lord has this to say to the people of Judah and Jerusalem, like a farmer breaking up hard unplowed ground, you must break your rebellious will and make a new beginning. That break up your fallow ground means take out the stones. Take out the stones. Take out the stones. The Bible says trials and tribulations came for the word's sake. They were offense. It means get rid of offense in your life. That's what it's saying. That's what it means. Let's go to the book of let me show you something. Go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6. So we're going to show now offense out of your life. We are talking about that if there are people that have offended you. So you need to get that thing, get rid of that thing, because it's going to stop the seed from germinating in your heart. How do you get rid of it? Make prayers for them. Begin to pray specifically for them and begin to bless. See, this is not, we're talking about serious business now. You wake up in the morning, the person has heard that you did something, said something, you wake up in the morning, I call Mr. A in the name of Jesus because I want my soul to be ready for this thing. I'm not joking. Father, I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost for him and I begin to release definite words. Father, I pray for him that you bless him, you bless the works of his hands. Father, I pray that whatever he has done shall not be laid to his account. You begin to pray and bless him. You see, we're talking about practical Christianity. You bless him, you pray for him in the spirit until that thing breaks. You continue until that thing breaks. When you hear about him in public, if something moves again, you go back again. You say, the thing is still there. You go and pray. No, it's true. These are practical things. You go back and pray. Father God, I pray for him until that thing. When you hear of him, you hear that he's doing well, you become very happy. You say, oh, Lord, I thank you for him. That's how it is. So I'm talking about the soil. He must be ready for that thing. Because we want to talk about, we're talking about reaping 100-fold. On the things we have done. We have tied around this mountain too long. Let's go to the nitty-gritty of the matter. I'm going to practice Christianity. Luke chapter 6. Verse 36. So you wake up and pray for him. Offense. Bible says John the Baptist was offended at Jesus. Jesus says, woe to the world because of offenses. That's what Paul said. Look, he says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Peace with all men. And how do you make peace? He said, first of all, prayer and supplication in the, for all men that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. That's the way to get peace. It's not by going around and saying, hey, I'm sorry. Peace. No. It's by staying in the place of prayer and obeying the instructions that God gives you. Want to really practice Christianity? Okay. Time is going on. 6. Verse 36. It says, be ye therefore let's go a bit further. It says 35. It says, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend, hoping nothing in return again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So be therefore merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. Now, 37 says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Say, forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. And he says, I give, and ye shall be given. He says, tithe. Be forgive, tithe to give. Look, go to the scripture, let us see, so that we'll be sure we're seeing it. Go to the next one. Say, forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. And he says, give, and he shall, we call the give, we'll forget this part. Give, and he shall be given unto. So I'm talking about making the soil of your heart the ready seed for that giving. For God will cause men to give unto your bosom. That's what we're talking about. So take out the stones. Take out the stones. He says, forgive, and he shall be forgiven. And that says, give, and he shall be given unto you in the next verse, 38. Go to 38. Look at it. It's a continuous scripture. It's a continuous scripture. So I want to make the soul palatable. Say, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Shall God cause men to give into your bosom? So, but it's tied to the previous scripture, saying, for judge not, condemn not. Let's take out the stones from your life completely as a person on the earth. That not your words are not words of judgment forever. You've made that decision today. Say, look, my soil must be conducive for the entry of that seed, for it to germinate. Take out the stones. What did he do next? In that Ecclesiastes, Jeremiah 4. He says, Jeremiah 4:3. He says, get rid of the thorns. Do not sow among thorns. That's the next thing he said in that Jeremiah 4:3. Put the scripture up again. He said, don't sow among thorns. Don't sow because they will choke it. And you know, I know in the parable of the sower, thorns represent the cares of this life and the sufferings of riches. But if you look at the scriptures, those thorns actually represent people in your life as well. That cause pain, that cause sorrow, that cause agitation. It's an atmosphere of peace, an atmosphere. That's why Abraham said, God told Abraham, said, Lord, please depart so that I can see clearly. So let's understand that. Let's understand that relationships are so vital in making our soil conducive for the seeds we plant. So that's the soil. So we're talking about sown, we're talking about the seed with an expectation, we're talking about the conditions that make the soil of our heart palatable. So don't sow among thorns. Make sure that your relationships are intact. Make sure that there are no stones on the ground. Make sure there's no offense in your heart by deliberately taking deliberate steps. You can't give me offense against the system. Say, these conservative boys are after me. This work, this employment, this workers, this office is after me. It can be that. Begin to make prayers for those things. Your life depends on it. Make sure there's no offense. There's anything against your wife or your husband. No, these things are subtle. Because we're talking about planting seed upon the ground, and we want that ground to be conducive for that seed to grow. We're talking about 100-fold return. So take out the thorns. Take out the stones from your heart. Remember, the person said, "Is diligence, guard it with all diligence." Practice these things on a regular basis. Take out the thorns, take out the stones from your heart. Make sure you're a person giving to love, to blessing only, to blessing only, to praying for people that have offended you, to blessing, not judging, releasing people from your environment, releasing people from the things they have done in your life as a person. That's the stones. Now we're going to talk about. We talk about the soil, we talk about the rain. I think we'll stop there today. The rain. I think this is where the real issue really is. The rain is also tied to expectation. The rain is tied to expectation. And I've always wondered that scripture in Isaiah 55. For the first time in the last few weeks, I've understood what that scripture really means. We'll see that once you understand where the rain comes from and how the rain functions, how to water that seed on the ground. You know, people are watering seeds. They're watering the ground that there are no seeds. So I talked about, we settled that. And I want to talk about how to now water the seed on the ground of your life. Go to Isaiah 55. I'm taking it slowly. Isaiah 55. See, this thing is a message of practice. Let's practice it. It's so practical that when you begin to have results by it, you fall in love with Jesus afresh. And so you fall in love with Him afresh. You begin to know that He cares for you as a person. Yeah, and that's important. Isaiah 55. Let's start from verse 5. Let's start from 6. Sorry. It says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Isaiah 55:6. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him, and to our God, for we'll abundantly pardon. Say, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. 10. We're talking about the rain. Say, as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So what is the word? What is the rain? The rain is the word of God. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings. Let me buttress it. I'll show you now. 1 Kings, chapter 17. The rain is the word of God. 1 Kings 17:1. It says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be rain or dew these years, but according to my word. So the word brings rain. See, the word of God has given you regarding that thing. You begin to prophesy to that thing, and that's the rain. You begin to speak that word based on your expectation, and that's what causes that seed to begin to grow. That's what waters that seed. See, it's a deliberate thing. You begin to speak the word of God regarding that thing based on your expectation. That's what waters the seed. Paul planted Apollos' water by speaking words. When he told the woman, the widow, to go and get barrel, he says, the barrel shall not fail. It's those words that produce. When Cornelius was praying to God, he said, your prayers and your arms have come before me. Send for Peter. It's the words that will cause that thing to come out. He said, he will tell thee words whereby you will be saved. As he spoke, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. See, let me tell you, this thing is practical. He says, he had been given arms, he had been praying to God, he has been giving out, he has been planting the seed, so he needed that rain to come. He says, send for Peter, he's the one that is the custodian of this, but you can be the rainmaker in your own life by speaking the words. As Peter spoke the word of God, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. That's the rain from heaven. The words you speak out of your lips, the scriptures that God has given you regarding that thing you have believed in for, begin to speak it as you plant the seed. That's what waters the seed. People are speaking, but they're not planting. And people are planting, but they're not speaking. Based on the expectation you have. You have to speak. You have to speak. For example, someone has planted things regarding finances. God has shown him a word. For example, let me give you an example. When I was talking about the example I gave, when I was looking for a job in the NHS, and I said, this is my need now. I need a job. I need a job. They were sending people home. There were no visas and all that. I said, God, I need a job. This is my need now. Jesus, I come to you as my source. I come to you because you give seed to the sower. That's how you start it. You come to him. Nobody else. The first response is go to God himself. Jesus, you came to die for me. You are my savior and you are my source of life. I have this need. I'm not going to any man first. I'm coming to you first. Lord, open my eyes to see the seed I need to plant to get this need met. And God said, look, go to the book of Job. I was praying. Go to the book of Job and check it. It says, the blessing of him that was ready to perish shall come upon me. He said, that is the seed, but I will show you how it comes. Someone came into my space that needed money. He said, that is the seed for that harvest. As I planted that seed, I gave him the money required. Something broke on it, but I kept on watering. I said, the blessing of him that was ready to perish has come upon me. Therefore, the job business has opened up unto me now. I was watering the seed with the prophetic word that God has given me regarding that matter. I hope you understand this thing. That's how it works. And I was watching it, and the thing opened, and I got the call. And that's how the thing unfolded until today. I'm still drinking of that river. It's not difficult. People are not declaring on that thing. They're not watering that seed with the word of God. They planted seeds. Begin to water that thing. Go back to the seeds you planted. Begin to go back. And get the word, the scriptures God gave regarding that thing. You sow the seed regarding that thing. You begin to water it with the words of your mouth. Look at what you said in Isaiah 55. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not come to me void, but accomplish that which I please. He says it will cause the seed that are sown in the earth to spring forth. So it's the prophetic word from you that causes the seed that you have sown on the earth to spring forth in your life. That's it. It's step by step. It is daily. See, that's what Orobo said. Look, I can reproduce any miracle any day. He says, this is the system of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus Christ came to teach us on the earth. How to be walk in the miraculous. That thing was miraculous. The way I got that job was miraculous. I mean, I didn't qualify for it. But because of the effect of the rain on the seed I have sown, the thing brought forth a miracle in my life. That's how you explain miracles on a daily basis. It's a practice. It's a practice which we must tune ourselves and train ourselves in. The people of the world are practicing it. But the thing, they don't have the rain of heaven. He says, the Bible says that this land you are going to inherit is a land that drinks water of the rain of heaven. Not like the Egyptians that water with their feet. They are planting seeds. I know someone who said he goes, when he wants to do anything on the earth, he wants to do any big project, he goes to the village and starts sowing seeds, takes all the widows and starts feeding them. When he finishes, he comes out and says, "We're ready." And they begin to declare words, human words, not words from the Spirit. Words to say, look, we have sown this. That's how philanthropists, that's how those guys work. They understand the principle. They give to charity heavily and they come and start declaring words. Nothing will stop them. We're talking about you that has access to the scripture, the word, the rain from heaven. That you begin to declare it over the seeds you have sown. That's what we're saying. The water in your feet, when you're drinking, your own is not easy, but you're drinking water of the rain of heaven. Let's practice this thing. So take the scriptures they have given you. Begin to speak it to that thing you sow. Enough. Let's take stock. Enough. God is exact. God is definite. Say, a miracle is coming and passing every day. I told you I almost missed my miracle because I wasn't declaring. I wasn't expecting anything. I was expecting, but I almost missed it. Your miracle has been released by God, but begin to connect yourself with it. Where your treasure is, your heart is, begin to speak words of God on concerning the seeds. So you sow seeds. I know people that have sown seeds, and but they're not declaring that thing. They're not watering it with the rain from heaven, which is the word of God. And I just said, there will be no rain except by my word. That's what drops the rain. It's the scripture.